This is TWiT.
Show of hands, did anyone get an invitation this morning?
Virtual, but yes.
Hey, guess who has two thumbs and got an invitation? This guy. Yeah. So the last time I thought, oh, it was a bug. They sent out that weird invitation saying, you want your briefing? Here's your briefing. And then they retracted it. But yes, I got another invitation. Here it is. We kind of thought this would happen. If Apple was going to have an event on October 13th, they would announce it today, October 6th, a week early. This is the invite. It says high speed, and it's not H-I-G-H, it's H-I comma speed. Hello. It's like saying, hello, speed. Please join us for a special Apple event in Apple Park. The Apple logo is surrounded by concentric rings. Some have interpreted that as the 5G radios, but I love in our chat room said, you know, maybe that's Apple tags.
If your name is Speed, were you very confused about the personalization of this invitation?
Wow, they sent me a personal invite. Yeah, that would
I wonder
be
what
fun.
Yours said, Leo.
Hi, Leo. No, mine just said high speed as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like inviting you to Apple campus to go, but I'm hoping that they get in the habit of this. And then
yeah. Seating is unlimited for this one.
Yeah, that's right. I might be the 18,000th person on the list, but I am.
But you're on the list, and that's the important part.
So what we're going to do next week, just a programming note, is we'll, as we did last time, with the iPad announcement and the Apple Watch announcement, we'll start iOS today an hour or two early, probably around 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 Eastern. And then that way Micah and I can do the announcement, which is at 10 o'clock Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1700 UTC. And then we'll start Mac Break Weekly immediately after the Apple announcement. They're pretty disciplined at this point. I imagine they'll do.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Google did its thing last week, and it was like 29 minutes and 59 seconds. It was like half hour, boom, it's over. They edited it to time.
Yeah.
Apple didn't do that, did they? It was a little longer than an hour, I think.
Yeah, and you're forgetting that included a blooper reel, like just like, you know, Cannonball Run, where they had like, you know, Burt Reynolds breaking up and playing jokes on yeah. So yeah,
so
it's a new era.
I also think Google was just anxious to get it over with. Let's go back to bed. It was their night in announcement. There are not. Well, let's put this way.
Switch.
Like we have any chance of getting any attention during a news cycle during this month of this year in this world?
So yeah. Why bother? They couldn't be bothered to have Google I/O. They barely could be bothered to do a Pixel event. Which means they're clearing the way for Samsung and Apple to dominate, which they would do anyway. So this is an iPhone 12 announcement, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Did anyone check Mark Gurman's Twitter? Come on, did anyone check Mark Gurman's Twitter?
Prosser said last night this would be, we'd all be getting this, but I could have tweeted that. Actually did, Renee, a really good piece on why are we listening to these people with zero track record in their iPhone rumors?
Yeah. They're being blogged over and over again, and it's out. I get it. I get like the thirst for page views during the time of COVID. I'm not going to look at Lori. I can't even imagine the pressure being put on, you know, professional bloggers these days. But I think it's. I think not on iMore. iMore is rigorous about this stuff, but on some other sites,
yeah.
I think anytime they see a tweet, it just gets a blog post.
For a long time, I actually resisted doing rumors of any kind. But I realized that was the road to hell paved with good intents. So we started doing rumors judiciously.
What I like about the rumor stuff, though, is that it makes it fun to talk about what you're excited for. You know, so there's somebody might have a rumor of like the new iPhone color, and then you get to say like, ooh, wouldn't that be so great if that's real? I would love that new color. And then it gets you all excited about it. So it's not about like, for me, when I talk about rumors, it's not about believing what people say as much as it is about just sort of enjoying the idea of what's to come, you know?
So, Renee, you did this yesterday in a piece for iMore, kind of a thought experiment about what you would like to see next Tuesday for the iPhone 12 announcement. The rumors are there's going to be huge variety, both in colors and sizes. And my general take on that is that's to cover up the fact that there's not We really don't have a lot more we can add to these phones. What do you
think?
It's
also practical because, like, the 5G modem, if you look at what other vendors have gone through over the last year, the phone size has increased because especially the millimeter wave, the frequency range 2 modems are just big and power hungry. So they require a lot of resources and the phones get bigger. And they're really good about saying, our biggest screen ever. But what they really mean is, geez, Qualcomm, can you get this working better, please? And so Apple has to fit that modem into an iPhone, what was an iPhone 11 Pro and Pro Max, and it's going to make it bigger. It looks like they're eating the cost, at least, you know, for the most part. So they're not going to be $100 more expensive like a lot of other phones got this year, but just supplying power to that. And if they are using the next generation of panels, those are more expensive, more power hungry. So I think they realized they had to increase sizes on one side, and they're like, okay, we want to keep the average selling price about the same, so we're going to make a smaller version that's a little bit less expensive, and hopefully that balances everything else and we don't just get crushed by 2020.
So the so-called 12 mini probably would not have millimeter wave.
I think some people have said it would, but I find it hard to believe. It's such a niche technology, such an underdeployed technology, and such an expensive technology that I think it's just reasonable to do what Samsung did, and that's put it in sort of the higher end models and leave frequency range 1, the low and mid band 5G radios, in the lower priced models.
Yeah. Also, in the United States, there's kind of a curveball because Verizon seems to be betting a lot harder on millimeter wave than anybody else. They're trying to make it into a thing for like indoor deployment and for like commercial broadband. I'm wondering what kind of pressure that Verizon is putting on all manufacturers, just saying, yes, I know that the millimeter wave forces you to think about putting a telescoping antenna into your phones for the first time in 40 years. But the thing is, this is the phone that we want to try to sell. So we want you to try to make one.
It's ironic because, as far as I can tell, very few people will be able to get millimeter wave.
And keep it. That's the hard part. Like if you turn around, if you go inside, if it starts raining, if the leaves move on a chair, you lose signal. It's bizarre.
Also, as you mentioned, expense and battery life. It's interesting because Google did put millimeter wave in their Pixel 5, and analysts have said that's the difference primarily between the Pixel 4a 5G and the Pixel 5 is this millimeter wave. $100 it adds to the cost. Mm-hmm. So that's a significant penalty for a capability virtually no one will be able to use.
Yeah, and again, we get back to Verizon because they bought up an enormous amount of millimeter wave spectrum, and they're trying to promote this as, this is why our networks are better, and this is why we have the fastest, most modern network. Whereas, in terms of subscribers of phones, every other carrier is promoting 5G as something that's going to be very good, very helpful, very important, but not necessarily something they're willing to sandbag hardware design over. So it's very, you're right.
Verizon has all the Pixel stock too, right? In the US, at least so far.
My sense is this was a deal with the devil that Google had to make. If they wanted Verizon to carry it, they were going to have to put millimeter wave in. They were strong-armed into it. I wonder if Apple was too. Apple doesn't get strong-armed.
Yeah.
It just because the problem with millimeter wave is it's so high frequency that it doesn't go through walls well. You really need virtually line of sight to the tower that doesn't
all
travel.
New towers too.
Yeah, you need new towers and more of them, four times more of them. So it's only going to be in big cities, in probably in high rises, as you said, in inside a business or perhaps
stadiums, maybe. Like, I don't even know if it's going to end up being a commercial technology. I have this huge fear that it'll be like their WiMAX. Like Sprint was all in on WiMAX and it just didn't work, and it cost them a year and a fortune to get over.
So are we overbuying if we buy a phone with millimeter wave? Or are we spending more than we have to?
I'll give you. So my thing, my big thing about this is that you're getting a Qualcomm modem. And I know for some people, the Intel modems have been just fine. But for a lot of people, especially in borderline areas, they just haven't held a signal as well or as long or as reliably. And even if you never turn on millimeter wave or even, you know, sub 6, sub 7, sub 9, whatever it ends up being, you're still getting a Qualcomm modem for LTE. And for a lot of people, I think that'll be a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, and on top of all that, there, it remains to be seen if any of these carriers can deliver 5G services that are in any way relevant to a phone above LTE right now. LTE, it's every single entity that is involved in streaming or data delivery at high speed, they know how to deliver video and audio to a 4G phone extremely well. And it's not as though we're going to have a phone with an 8K display. If there is one, I bet it's going to be Samsung who makes it, just to say that they were able to make it. But it's hard to figure out how you can deliver 5G to a mobile handset in a way that delivers serious value. Even live streaming, live video streaming and chatting, that's perfectly fine over LTE over phone, given how much data you can throw away because it's not going to be relevant to the needs of that actual application. So it's people are a little bit surprised with me for buying an LTE phone this year. And one of the reasons that I gave for people is that for me, $350 for a phone this year is a good investment because I'm not going to be dumping $1,000 in a phone that 2 or 3 years from now might not be quite in tune with what the world is like. But also that I don't think that 5G is going to make a big impact on people's lives for another couple of years at least.
So that's just seeking
out. That's what you have to.
I've referred to this before, but the PC Magazine article from last month, Race to 5G. This is they do this yearly. They go to 26 cities. Concluded that 5G was a complete waste of time at this point, and
it's a marketing and finance play.
It's not something anybody should be looking for in a device. That the current leader in 5G speeds is Verizon, but good luck getting anywhere near a Verizon phone. T-Mobile, which has the widest coverage of 5G, their 5G isn't particularly faster. So it really seems like
it's more robust, though.
It's 600 megahertz, so it gets through walls. It's the low band 5G. I feel like the phone manufacturers, because everybody's putting out 5G phones now, kind of
got suckered by this. The aggregation is much better. So instead of having just 20, you know, which limits the amount of people on it, I think it goes up to 100 hertz just on the aggregation. So you can have many more. It's the same tower technology, and you can have just many more people on that tower. So again, it's for those people in those areas who've just always never gotten or been underserved by LTE. And I think T-Mobile is doing a good job with that. The rest is just marketing.
Sasha,
something else that you have to keep in mind, though, is that not everybody is going to buy a new phone in a couple of years. So there's going to be people buying now with, even though 5G doesn't matter to them at the moment, 5 years from now, they still want their phone to be, you know, as fast as possible. And I agree that from, you know, the phone maker's perspective, phone makers didn't need to make 5G phones yet, but they did. So from the consumer perspective, I would say that it's not a bad idea to just go ahead and buy a 5G phone if you're the kind of person who only buys a phone every 5 or 6 years, because 5 or 6 years from now, 5G is probably going to be more ubiquitous. Maybe not 5 millimeter, but some version of 5G will be used more commonly throughout
But the question is, will you be disadvantaged because you're still using an LTE phone? Will you be in a slower network? Will you be on – it will be less
– No.
No. And I don't even think
you will have an older 5G modem, though.
Yes. So you're taking a gamble by buying this device that in 3 years 5G will be better, that it will be widespread, that you'll be able to get it. And yes, you raised the excellent point, Renee. You're buying an older 5G technology when you buy it today. So I feel like this is, I mean, it's not a gamble we have a choice in. But if for some reason on Tuesday Apple says these have 5G and these don't and they're $100 less, I would opt for the one without, to be honest.
Some markets might not. Like, there are rumors that outside the big markets are going to have LTE versions, but they're not going to be coming as quickly. And then you just have to deal with, because the problem for consumers here is that before LTE, it was a mess. You had to figure out which network you were on before you could figure out which iPhone you wanted to buy, because you had to have CDMA for Verizon, and those were different models, and for Sprint back then, and you had the GSM models. And we got rid of that largely with LTE. You could just buy a phone. If you bought your Verizon, you know, a Verizon phone unlocked, you could use it anywhere. And now you're going to have to pay close attention to which phone goes with your carrier again, which just feels like a step back.
Yeah, well, so the modems like cameras right now, where we don't really have to worry about whether we're going to get a decent one that works, so long as we're not buying a phone in a blister pack at the drugstore. The thing to underscore is that there's a really hot phone that's not available in the United States yet. I think it's the I'm not gonna guess. I have it written down somewhere, but it's so good that a lot of like review sites are importing them just to write a review. And what they have to really remind people of is that because this was designed specifically to be sold in one limited market, they don't have like the full Qualcomm chipset, and so that you'll find that I'm not getting high speed in my area because my carrier doesn't have this because this phone does not support a carrier methodology that came across 3 or 4 years ago. It does like the cheap stuff that isn't really required where this thing was made for. We ignore the great thing about technology when it's mature is that the sign of success is that we totally forget that it exists. And that's what we get when we have like a really mature Qualcomm chipset inside a phone. We forget that those wars have been fought and now we've got the memorials up and we don't have to care about that anymore. As long as we spend any amount of money for a phone, it's going to work on whatever network we have pretty much anywhere in the world.
Speaking of Qualcomm, what is the speculation about? Will there be Qualcomm or Intel radios in these new iPhones, or will it be all Apple silicon?
Qualcomm.
It will still have Qualcomm.
Apple isn't ready to do a chipset yet. They're working on it. It'll definitely get there, but they're smart enough to say that we are doing great stuff that works great on the Apple campus. It is not ready to inflict upon millions and millions of people that we're taking $1,000 from.
Now, in your fever dream, Renee.
Yes.
This was much more than an iPhone event.
That's a bit prejudiced, yeah. Would you say?
Well, I think when Apple announces a new iPhone, I think their tendency would be to say, look, this is an iPhone event. Well, if we have other things, unless
usually
they're
directly
related.
They have Apple Watch, but they don't this time. Like for the last few years, it's been an iPhone and Apple Watch.
Yeah, because they're
and
so
last
closely
year, they also had the
related.
iPad.
So,
yeah, well, they had the cheap iPad last year as well. So like they have other stuff on occasion. So I was hoping, I need something in 2020, Leo. They've taken all the movies away from me. I have Baby Yoda and I have this. That's all I have left in 2020.